Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
FanDuel's got an offer you don't want to miss this NFL season. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Your team. Adjective. Used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu, defined by you.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day, all Bills all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Well, we knew this would happen eventually. The weather has kind of changed here in Buffalo, so we're not able to come at you from outside. Let me just show everybody, all right? Matt and I are in the press box today. It is raining. Here's what it looks like. This is what our view is. Give me 1 second. Here we go. I'm going to turn around. There you go, folks. You can't really maybe see the rain. Maybe you can, but it's raining out there. One Bills drive. The Bills back on the practice field after a bye week. We're up here in the press box, and we got a lot to get to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the big storyline from today is kind of the help is on the way for the Bills, and I think it's the return of players like Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, and then most notably Max Hairston. So we just finished watching practice. Well, after we record this podcast, we'll go out and do some interviews with players, and you know, I'm sure those are going to be three guys that we're waiting to hear from. I actually talked to Max Hairston yesterday, though, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But it was all eyes on those guys as the Bills really kind of get this new wave of help as they get ready for the last two-thirds of the season that are coming up here.
Yeah, from here on out, it's basically routine. Sunday games, except for one Thursday night in Houston, but it's Sunday 1 or 4:25 p.m. You get more of a routine. All those primetime games they had early in the season, they had their bye week. They reset a little bit. We could talk about that. What Sean McDermott said, Also, I know a lot of you are like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? The Bills Stadium. I'm listening on the podcast. We appreciate that. We, of course, welcome anybody who's watching, who's listening. It's always game day in Buffalo. Matt Bove, Sal Capaccio. Hope you enjoyed your bye week, everybody. What did you do real quick in your bye week? Anything good?
Tried to potty train our daughter is what we did. And it did not go, it didn't go bad, but it did not go unbelievably well. So the process continues, but we were basically hunkered down in our house for 3 days trying to figure out how to go to the potty instead of using diapers.
Okay. Well, we have a new dog that is pretty much potty trained, but we had to make sure as we had him for the full week and went to Syracuse for a football game. Syracuse against Pitt didn't go well for my Orange, to be expected after they lost their starting quarterback, Steve Angeli, a few weeks ago. But the coolest part is my son, now 11 years old, seeing campus, going to the Newhouse school, seeing the technology, knowing where dad went to school, going to Varsity Pizza, getting a slice. That was the cool part.
Yeah, and it was a very expensive trip because now after seeing all of that, he'll want to go to Syracuse. And what does Syracuse cost these days?
Like, over 80.
That's
a year.
$80,000 yes, a year to go to school.
Ridiculous. That's, he does already want to go. And I keep saying, son, get a lacrosse scholarship.
Yeah, when I was in college, I went to Buff State. I think Buff State was $8,000 a year. So just add a zero, and that's what Syracuse is.
I will say, Max has been talking more about Buff State lately because we live close by, and he's like, I just want to live with you guys and go to Buff State. I'm like, okay, I'll be okay with that. Wherever you are joining us, whether it's on a college campus or somewhere else, we thank you, and it's always game day in Buffalo. Okay, I will say, I think Max Harrison looked pretty darn good running. You know, like, we just posted video on our X feeds, at Sal Sports, at Matt underscore Bove, by the way. I mean, he looked explosive and fast in the first day back.
It's like you read my tweet. So my colleague Dom Tibbetts from Channel 7 posted video of Max Hairston from inside the field house, probably just about 20 minutes ago. Yeah. And I quoted the video, said, actually thought he was moving well and looked fluid during the short amount of practice we were able to watch. Because, you know, we're in there and you can only see so much and they're going to start team drills now that we're gone. But from what we saw of Hairston, I was like, hey, that's a good sign. Like, still feel like managing expectations with him. That has been the buzzword from Sean McDermott since we knew that Hairston was kind of trending in this right direction. I thought he looked good. I was impressed overall with what we saw. He looks like maybe he's closer to playing than I was originally anticipating.
Okay, so let's talk about that because I still couldn't, I can't get myself to actually believe he'd be activated this week. But no, after watching him today, I kind of have to stop myself from going there because that's how good I thought he looked running.
I don't think we're there yet. No. I still think, and I feel like the Chiefs, even though it would be great to have somebody who is so fast with a receiver group that has a player like Xavier Worthy, that also still feels a little bit too lofty to me. It feels like the Dolphins game. It feels like against an opponent like that, the Dolphins game is the one that I'm almost anticipating we see him ready to go for. What that looks like, I don't even know. It could be almost like what we saw with Dorian Strong before he got injured, where it was a rotation between Trey White and Dorian Strong, and Trey White was getting three quarters of the work, and Dorian Strong was getting a quarter of the work. Maybe that's what it looks like as you try and get him acclimated, but definitely a good sign today. A good sign that he was out there, and a good sign of how he looked while he was out there.
Yeah, I agree with you about the Dolphins game most likely, but man, it's hard to look at him today and go, wow, like, can you not put him on the field now? But the Bills... Also, notably, Sean McDermott said at least half is, was you even your question, maybe? Okay, but at least half, 50% was, is the, what he, mental reps that he needs to make up. That's a big part of it. He can look as fast as you want. You put him out there, he doesn't know all the nuances of what he's supposed to be doing. That doesn't matter.
Well, so I talked to Max on Tuesday. They had an event down at the stadium, and the rookies took seventh graders from West Seneca West on a tour of the stadium. It was a cool field trip, and I knew the rookies were going to be there, so I showed up, and I wanted to specifically try and talk to Max because I knew that his window had been opened up. And we talked a little bit about the field trip, but we also talked about his return to play, and he talked about, you know, how he feels, and he says he feels good and what he learned while he was on the sideline. But I did like his approach, and he kind of said, while I've been injured, the only thing I could really fully dive into is learning the playbook and learning where I'm supposed to be. So I feel like that has been my main focus, which is a good sign because the player we watched during the first week and a half of training camp didn't look like he was ready to immediately make an impact. And that's why I feel like he won't just come back and automatically be the starter at cornerback too. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. But if he has a better grasp of where he is supposed to be and when he is supposed to have certain reads and what he's like, you know, is supposed to just kind of be doing from a mental standpoint, I think the physical stuff will probably come a little bit sooner. Just be, I mean, he's an elite athlete, an elite athlete who will probably pick it up relatively fast.
Yeah, I agree. We haven't heard from him yet today, Matt. Like he said, talk with him and sounded like he was, you know, feeling really good about where he is physically. We'll see how everything shapes up the rest of the way. We're also going to hear after practice today. So right now, we just watched the team do their stretching and individual warmups. We're here in the press box. We're going to go out and hear from not only Max Harrison, but Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. They return today as well. Now, you wouldn't expect any physical like stuff to watch for with them because they have been just on the suspended list. But knowing them, them knowing the defense, exactly what to do, where to be, they did get a lot of reps in preseason and camp. That's going to be more of the challenge. And Sean McDermott said kind of seeing where they are conditioning, seeing where they are fitting in. They're going to play this week. I think the question is just how much and where.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to call a little bit of coach speak on that because when he said, we'll see, they're playing. Yes. They need Larry Ogunjobi to play because as far as defensive tackles are concerned, they have right now on their active roster, Ed Oliver and Deion Walker and Larry Ogunjobi. They need him to play. And I would imagine that one of those open roster spots they have or the open roster spot could maybe be for a Zion Logue or whatever it is. I think he's going to play Ogunjobi, and I think Hoyt is definitely going to play, and I do think that they're going to get like a decent amount of work. I think Hoyt is going to slide into the role that Javon Solomon has played on the defense. I also think that he'll be the running mate for AJ Epenesa whenever they want to do a full wholesale change, and then I think Ogunjobi is just going to be part of that defensive tackle rotation with Deion Walker. I mean, Deion Walker played 80% of snaps against the Falcons, and there were times when it was amazing, but there were also times when he was pushed off his spot and it created lanes for Bijan to attack the Bills. I think Ogunjobi will slide in and it'll make everybody else better because he is available.
The reason why Deion Walker played so much, Daquan Jones got hurt in pregame. They had three available defensive tackles and Ed Oliver was just coming off of injury. You didn't mention Daquan Jones as an active member of the roster. And the reason is because he's week to week. I don't anticipate him playing. He is on the roster, although Sean McDermott didn't rule out him or Joshua Palmer, who we'll get to, going to IR. But at this point, I can't imagine Daquan Jones playing this week. So to me, it's just a one-for-one switch at this point. Ogunjobi in for Daquan Jones. And as you said, you're already out of elevations for Zion Logue. You could elevate Jordan Phillips again, or maybe you just sign Zion Logue and make it a straight, hey, we have an open roster spot. That's where we're going.
Or even though the elevations, you still have two of them, or you just add Jordan Poyer to your 53.
I want to get to that in a second for sure.
It feels like we're trending in that direction. So the injury updates on top of what Sal said, Daquan Jones and Joshua Palmer, both still considered week to week. Sean McDermott would not rule out if they'll go on IR, but the way he talked about it initially, it maybe feels like that would be the worst case scenario. Like I don't think we're talking about season ending stuff. I just think we're talking about something that might linger for a couple more weeks here. Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, Dalton Kincaid and Curtis Samuel, all limited participants on Wednesday. I think that is a good sign for the potential availability of those guys. Taylor Rapp is the only other player that did not practice, with a lingering knee injury. So the Bills
And Sean said he doesn't know right now. They're getting information. That could be day to day. That could be week to week. We don't know.
We don't know. And we also have talked about how the safety position needs to be better. So this might create a situation where they have to play Jordan Poyer or they give an extended look at Jordan Hancock or they go out and they make a move. Maybe that explains why Taylor Rapp's play has not been up to the standard that we were expecting going into the season because this knee injury, Sean said, is something that's lingered since the summer, since training camp. But they need to do something. And now it feels like to me that something is going to be another elevation for Jordan Poyer and probably Jordan Poyer and Cole Bishop as your starting safeties this upcoming Sunday, you know, assuming we don't see Taylor Rapp in the next couple days here returning to practice.
Okay, so one thing I floated out there on X, and I think it could be an option. You have to think of it this as well. What they could do is use, as you said, the open roster spot for Jordan Poyer because, let's remember, Gabe Davis is also on the practice squad injured. And at some point, you're going to want to open his window up. And once they do, they're going to have a practice squad spot for him. You remember back at beginning of the season, they had to release Jordan Poyer for a day and then bring him back? Well, the reason was you can only have a maximum number of veterans with a certain number of seasons on the practice squad. So once they signed Gabe, they had to make that room by releasing Jordan. Then they put Gabe on injured, which opened the spot back up for Jordan. I could see Jordan Poyer going to the 53 And then Gabe Davis, there's your spot for him to go back on the practice squad, especially considering Joshua Palmer is week to week right now. I'm not saying it's happening today or tomorrow, but I think that could happen eventually.
I don't think you're wrong, but the only pushback I would say, or my hesitation, pushback isn't the right word, I don't know what they'll do at defensive tackle. And that's why I feel like they need to, for at least this week, address defensive tackle. They need to go into this game with at least four guys available. I don't know if Jordan Phillips is giving them enough. Like, they could still elevate him again, but it feels like the obvious answer was Zion Logue. He played well in the situations that he was asked to play, and the only way to get him back is if you add him to the 53-man roster. They're out of elevations with him. And they also prioritized elevating him before they prioritized elevating Jordan Phillips, which I think shows you kind of the hierarchy they have in their head. So that's just my anticipation. Maybe Andy Dalton changes things a little bit. It's not like Andy Dalton is an overly mobile quarterback at this point in his career. So maybe they want somebody who could provide them with a bit more pass rushing juice from the interior, and that would be Jordan Phillips. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like whatever they do for Sunday has to be about getting at least one more defensive tackle ready.
Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard both practice. We have video at Sal Sports at Matt_Bove. Now, they are termed as limited, but I got to be honest, watching them in the individual portion of practice, it looked like to me they were kind of doing what they normally would do to get ready for a football game in 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, for sure. I thought the same thing, but I wonder, because it's also an interesting storyline of the Shaq Thompson return to Carolina.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What does his role look like if those guys are playing? Are they going to use three linebackers? Are they going to give Milano and Shaq Thompson some sort of split reps? I don't know what they're going to do. Matt Milano is so interesting to me because it almost feels like if you knew you were going, they don't know yet. They still have to get to that point. But if you knew you were thinking about January, it almost feels like lightening the workload on Matt Milano would be a smart way of approaching it. I just don't know how that would affect your defense as a whole. And if that would be something that a team would be able to even overcome. You know, we talk about it with defensive linemen. We talk about it with pass rushers in this heavy rotation. Would rotating a linebacker hurt the chemistry of your defense substantially more than a defensive line? I don't know. That's honestly probably a better question.
It's not something the Bills normally do.
That's what I mean. It's not something that they normally do. So that's probably a Babbage question and something that, you know, the really smart film people would have a better opinion on, because I just don't.
I think when Matt Milano's healthy, he's playing as much as possible, right? But if you get in situations where you can take him off the field, you do. They just haven't had that. And right now, they also got to win games, and they probably feel he's the best option they have. But I agree with you, Shaq Thompson, go back to Carolina, and he's played well. I wonder about Dorian Williams, too, though, because he hasn't been necessarily a guy that you can totally rely on to make the kinds of plays you want him to when he's been on the field.
I feel like right now, the order is Bernard and Milano, and then after that, it's Shaq Thompson. I feel like he has leapfrogged Dorian Williams, which, long-term outlook, that's not a great thing for this organization, because Dorian Williams was a third-round pick and they've needed more from him, and they haven't gotten it consistently enough.
I'll even throw this out there. Michael Hoyt can play Sam linebacker. If they needed a third linebacker, he could drop and he could play off the ball. Like, that's the versatility that he winds up giving you.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
So good, so good, so good.
New markdowns are on at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save even more, up to 70% on dresses, tops, boots, and handbags to give and get.
Because I always find something amazing.
Just so many good brands.
I get an extra 5% off with my Nordstrom credit card. Total queen treatment.
Join the Nordy Club at Nordstrom Rack to unlock our best deals. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you rack.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniel's. Jack Daniel's and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniel's and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Okay, let's go to the offensive side. Joshua Palmer is also termed week to week. Now, Sean McDermott did not rule out Palmer or Jones, Daquan, going on injured reserve. Boy, that really helps a receiving core that's already had a lot of questions and has a lot of questions right now.
Hurts. You said helps.
Already hurts a receiving core. Sorry. Yeah. That already has a lot of questions about who's going to win on the outside right now. Getting Dalton Kincaid back would be a huge boost because obviously he can open some other things up, and they really missed him against Atlanta. But, man, you miss Joshua Palmer. That's another rung down the ladder you got to go.
They got to make a trade. I really think that. I really do. Because what is Keon Coleman at this point? You don't know. How much do you trust him on the boundary? What do you do after that? Right? Khalil Shakir is going to play in the slot. And Dalton Kincaid is going to be used in the same role he was used in the first five games of the season before this injury. You need somebody. I mean, I know Elijah Moore could theoretically play the boundary, but he hasn't even been active every week. So it's not like they've been over the moon with how he has played. Tyrell Shavers, I don't think you're just immediately saying, okay, this is your opportunity to go do that. It feels like there's a lot of similarities between, I don't want to say similarities as players between him and Keon, but I would have a lot of questions with Tyrell Shavers getting that amount of work. And then Curtis Samuel is not a boundary guy. Like, what are they going to do? They need to add somebody who can play wide receiver if Josh Palmer is going to miss a notable amount of time. And with the bye week already done and him still not being ruled out from going on IR, you're talking about a nice little chunk of games where they need somebody to produce.
No doubt about it. We'll see what the Bills do by Saturday at 4 p.m. That'll be the time when they have to make elevations. They have to make roster changes by Sunday. They do have, as we said, one spot remaining on the 53-man roster. Sean McDermott also, by the way, gave an update on Dorian Strong, and it did not sound very promising at this point for the young man dealing with a neck injury. He actually used the word research. We're doing more research on that.
Yeah, so that's one of those ones where I almost feel like it's also the same thing as the wide receiver. I feel like they need to do something because even with Max Harrison starting to practice, they still need another viable bound. I feel like for both of these positions, you need to be able to go at least a couple deep. Right now at cornerback for boundary, not a disrespect to Jamarcus Ingram. They have Christian Benford, they have Tre'Davious White, and they have Max Harrison who is returning, but we don't exactly know what he looks like. I think they need one other guy to round out that room just so you can withstand an injury without immediately catapulting somebody into a spot that they might not be ready for.
Well, they do have Jamarcus Ingram now until Max Harrison comes back. He is the guy, right? They also have not used an elevation on Dane Jackson yet if they needed him. And I'm not, again, I understand. Well, it's Dane Jackson. How much is he going to help you? He is the next option, though.
Yes, he is the next option. So that is why it feels like if they could go out and find one more guy, that would make sense for them, because that person could be the immediate backup to Christian Benford and could be the guy who goes in if Trey White or Max Hairston are struggling. This is not early in the season anymore. I know we're still not even to the halfway point yet. They don't have the luxury of letting Max Hairston make mistakes for the time being. They would have had that luxury at the beginning of the season. Now they don't. So they need to get somebody up here and playing who is up to speed and giving them the best chance to win.
All right, let's talk about the Carolina Panthers for a second. I asked you a question before we started recording here. If you thought it was beneficial for the Panthers to have Andy Dalton over Bryce Young, we kind of disagreed. I think I'd rather face Bryce Young if I'm the Bills than Andy Dalton, especially considering that this is a guy, Andy Dalton, who has seen every defense. He knows where to put the ball. The Bills have been hurt by teams that know where to place the ball inside zone defense. The one advantage would be Bryce Young is more mobile, and mobile quarterbacks have hurt the Bills this year. But man, I think even on his best day, I think you can handle Bryce Young. On his best day, Andy Dalton last year was still thrown for over 300 yards.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you can't beat Andy Dalton.
It's not true.
I know.
But who would you rather face?
I think you can make the argument either way. Okay. I think Bryce Young has the higher ceiling. Okay. I think Bryce Young would be not a notable loss. My opinion of the game hasn't changed a ton based off of the quarterback, and the betting line hasn't really changed a ton either, because I feel like a lot of people feel the same way you do. The thing that I go back to, and this is not fair, but the thing that I keep going back to with Andy Dalton is, you know, we've covered this team for a long, long time. I think back to 2019 when the Bills started 3-0 and they played a game inside the stadium against the Bengals and Andy Dalton, and remembering then, it's Andy Dalton. That was 2019. That was 6 years ago. So if that player 6 years ago was kind of like, whatever, it's Andy Dalton, it's fine. 6 years later, I mean, this needs to be a game. We're going to look at the stats right now. I cannot be concerned with a Rico Dowdle. He's a good player, whatever. If Rico Dowdle torches the Bills, it says way more about the Bills than it does about him. Bijan is a different animal, of sure. Chuba Hubbard, the same thing.
Rico Dowdle's good. He's averaging 5.6 yards a carry.
Rico Dowdle's good, I know. And I mean, he's been able to feast on some defenses. Like, to me, if you're the Bills, you need to be thinking about two players in this game. It's Tatoria McMillan.
Just call him Tet.
Tatoria McMillan and Rico Dowdle. Those are the guys that you need to be focused on stopping. And I feel like they should be able to do that.
I don't disagree. It is a young receiving core, which I think, you know, is...
And Xavier Legette, I know, who was taken before Keon, but it's not like... What does Xavier Legette on the season have?
17 catches.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
There's a major drop-off after McMillan, by the way. Take a look at these numbers. They got... McMillan has 30 catches. The next guy is 17. He has 413 yards. The next guy is 142 with Legette in both instances, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that Sean was asked about, how they have two running backs with Hubbard and with Dowdle. Rico Dowdle's the guy. Like, clearly, look at the workload. And I know Hubbard has been injured and everything. And it just feels like Rico Dowdle is the hot hand right now. Watching what he did 2 weeks ago against the Cowboys when they upset Dallas, he was all over. It was an unbelievable game. But I know the Cowboys have had some issues stopping the run, just like the Bills have. He's going to break off some plays. He is absolutely going to. But it, to me, feels a little bit like when they played the Jets and where they had two people. They had Breece Hall and they had Garrett Wilson. The difference here is I think Andy Dalton is a heck of a lot more competent than Justin Fields was. So I don't think it will be as simple for them to shut it down. But if those are the two guys you're worrying about, the easy counter to this would be the Falcons had two guys that they were worried about, Drake London and Bijan, and they
couldn't stop them.
They had almost 300 yards in just the first half alone.
Yeah, on the defensive side, the Panthers have done a nice job this year. Now, their numbers are pretty about average or above average in most major categories we're looking right now. They've done a nice job against the run this year. They are allowing over 4 yards a carry, which is 13th in the league. They are top 10 in the league, passing yards per game, rushing yards per game allowed. But they've also been a little leaky on third down, and they're not getting to the passer. The Bills cannot allow that to happen. 25th in the league, only 4.98% sack per pass attempt. That is an area the Bills have to be better at, Matt. They cannot allow pressure to get to Josh Allen, and they have to stay on schedule in that regard.
Yeah, they have to stay on schedule. They have to not take stupid penalties, because that has continued to haunt them for the last several weeks. That has been a big reason why. And I also think that there's a correlation, right? They've taken penalties. They've been giving up more pressure than they usually do, and there's been turnovers. I don't think it's a coincidence that when you're playing from behind the sticks and you're getting pressured more than you're used to, sometimes you're putting the ball into harm's way more often. They need to be able to keep Josh upright and let him create some plays and make some time. That's the one thing I'll say, is if he has time, the Panthers are pretty good at stopping the run. This needs to be a game where he can get out of the pocket and make things happen, because it's harder, even when you have subpar weapons like the Bills do. Keeping them covered for 3-4 seconds is a lot harder than having them covered for a second or two, like the Falcons had to do the other day. So that's why, if they can protect Josh, it feels like this is a game where he could buy some time, roll out to his side, and make a couple big plays down the field.
I know you'd agree that it sounded a bit like a home game at times in Atlanta. If you thought that sounded like a home game, wait till Charlotte. Yeah. It will be massively overloaded with Bills fans.
Yeah, I know. That's a huge transplant. Atlanta is too, though. Yeah. Atlanta, I mean,
Charlotte, I think Charlotte's like Buffalo South. Who of us does not know people who moved from here to Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yeah, Charlotte, Raleigh, Atlanta, Orlando. Yeah. Those are like the big four for people from Buffalo where they ultimately move. Sal Marinaro brought up a great point, and I did not know this, so shout out to him. During Sean McDermott's press conference, he said during these six seasons, they've had a two-game losing streak in every single season. I did not know that.
That's amazing.
They've never lost three in a row during the stretch. I remember last year going into the Jets Monday night game, and that was a big talking point of like, you got to stop the bleeding now. You got to do this. Sean McDermott is perfect coming out of a bye week, and that stat about not losing three in a row. You're starting to get a little bit healthier, and you were playing a backup quarterback. If not now, when are you going to finally look right? This needs to be a game. Zach Sheldon from Trainwreck Sports always says about the button. Would you press the button and immediately take a win? Would you, like, right now take a 20-19 win if you were a Bills fan getting ready for the game? And I always think, of course you take the win, because it's a win and that's what matters the most. This should be a game where the Bills win and it looks convincing. I mean, the Panthers are 4-3. They're not a bad team, but this needs to be a game the Bills dominate.
I mean, the Panthers, I just want to go back real quick. I mean, what did they do? The Cowboys offense is really good, right? Mm-hmm. What did the Panthers do 2 weeks ago? Let me go to the Panther. Here we go. Let's see the Cowboys game. Let's just go back to this real quick. Here's the game. 30-27. They still scored 27 points. The Cowboys, what do they have here? Cowboys, five for 12 and 30. They were less 292 yards. That's it, total.
Yeah, but I mean, Dak was 25 of 34 for 261 and three touchdowns. Yeah. And George Pickens
couldn't run the ball.
Yeah, George Pickens had 168 yards and a touchdown, and they were without CD still.
Okay.
So just saying, like, yes, they won the game and they deserve credit. Rico Dowdle in that game had 30 carries for 183 yards, averaged 6 yards, and then he had 56 yards receiving. That's insane. He had 230 yards of offense. Yes. Nobody else had more than 39. So that's when I think about a game like this of like, okay, the Panthers are good. They're hitting their stride, but this should be a game the Bills won.
I agree with everything you just said about this game, and I'll use our morning show host, Jeremy White, on WGR, what he said today. He's like, you're not pushing the panic button if they lose. You're probably smashing your hand right through the panic button if they lose this game. Like, this is the game to get right and say, okay, everything's okay. It's back on track. Now you just turn to Kansas City and let's see what happens. Uh-huh. But if you lose this game, you're 4-3 with the Chiefs coming to town.
Yeah.
It is full on panic mode in Western New York.
Yeah. If you lose this game, you're thinking about if this team makes the playoffs. Yeah. You're not thinking about how far in the playoffs this team can even go. I will say, even if they lose, because weird stuff can happen, they have had seasons where they have kind of gone, like 2023 to me is a good
example. 6-6?
Yeah, 6-6. They lose to the Eagles in that crazy game. They have like a 30% chance of making the playoffs. Then they go undefeated after they come out of the bye, including wins against the Chiefs and including wins against the Cowboys and some good teams. They get to the playoffs and they barely lose to the Chiefs in that playoff game. The AFC is still wide open. Like, if they lose this game and they're 4-3, they would probably still theoretically be in a playoff spot, at least for right now. So that's why I'm like, yeah, I would be smashing the panic button, but it also wouldn't say that the season is done and this team has no chance of doing anything. Because if Josh gets hot, they can win any game that they play in.
We're going to have a lot more coverage for you the rest of the week. You can follow him at @Matt_Bove and, of course, at WKBW TV. And you can follow me at Sal Sports and, of course, on WGR Sports Radio 550. We want to thank our producer, Mike Robbie, as always. It's good to be back after the bye. The Bills take on the Panthers Sunday at 1 p.m. in Carolina.
And Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.